allow us to come up here and sing some songs. And I hope this Bible's not too heavy for this music stand. We'll find out. We're going to find out right now.
Thank you.
All righty, very good. Just got a quick testimony for you. I'm supposed to be here a couple weeks ago, but
COVID.
Right? COVID happened again. And so we got that. We're through that thing. The voice is still recovering, the congestion and that junk and all that stuff. It's pretty mild this time, you know, not very serious, but it does linger a little longer than the average cold. Then I had this toothache, right? And so I called the dentist the other day, I think Tuesday, and I'm figuring, you know, if I tell them about it now, they'll get me in within a couple of weeks, maybe a month, right? And the girl says, well, she goes, can you make it there Thursday the 1st at 3:20? It's like, and I'm thinking, Black Creek. And it's like, yes, we'll make it happen. So I went in there today to get my tooth looked at, right? Thought I was just going in maybe for x-rays. And the guy's got, my dentist is a believer, okay? And if you know anything about architecture and building it all, back in the 50s, they used to make these little, these like starter home ranches, right? They're not even, they're maybe 35 feet long, these ranches, right? They might be 20 feet wide. They got three bedrooms, a bath, you know, kitchen, living room, and all that kind of stuff. Well, so that's what my dentist, that's how he operates. And so he's got his place where he works, and then you got the dental hygienist over here. She works in this room. This room back here is a waiting room, and it's cut off from everything, but you can still hear because the receptionist is over there. And there's this other room with this other woman. And he's got these women working there, but I don't know that they're all believers. So he starts in, and he wants to start asking questions, right? Got the pastor here. Well, I know what he's doing. It's like you can't stand in a room. I mean, the house only goes from here to there. It doesn't make any difference what room you're in. You're going to hear everything, right? Whether somebody's got stuff jammed in their mouth or not. And so we're starting to go back and forth about this, that, and the other, and I started giving my testimony. He brought up the election, not the presidential one. And I said, yeah, I said, election, that's a Bible term. And I said, a lot of Baptists are afraid of that word. I said, but it is the Bible. And I said, predestination's in there. So yeah, I believe in election predestination. I said, I just define it different than other folks. And then my Reformed brethren.
Yeah.
And so anyway, so we got in there, we started talking there, and you know, talking about how it's like, well, you know, God said, you know, his word says that Jesus Christ died for all men, and you know, of course, over there in 1 Timothy chapter 2, you know, first of all, give your, you know, supplications and prayers, you know, because God who will have all men to be saved, and all that kind of thing. So I'm giving them this whole thing, so they're all hearing that, right? And it's hard. Did you ever try talking while you're in the dentist's office?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's like that morph program, you know, where you take a picture and somebody goes, you stretch their mouth out and everything else. That's what it's like trying to witness in a dentist's office. And so you got all these tubes and things and contraptions. And, of course, he's sitting there with these little binoculars staring at you. And I said, how am I supposed to look at you and not burst out laughing? Did your dentist wear those things? I mean, they're like mini binoculars. I mean, it's like, anyway. So we're witnessing, you know, going back and forth, and I gave my testimony, and I said, it's the only thing that made sense. I said, I'm 27 years old when I heard the gospel for the first time after being in church, you know, up into my teen years. And I said, that somebody put a Bible in my hand, and then the preacher gave an invitation, and I went into this room, and the guy started showing me that God loves me, but that my sin separates me from God. And he went over to Revelation 21:8. You know, the fearful, the unbelieving, murderers, adulterers, sorcerers, all that stuff. And then he gets all the way down to the last part, and all liars. And he goes, would you say that you fit in there? All liars. I said, man, I've already checked off about three or four. I won't tell you which three or four. And he goes, well, listen, now God loves you. And God wants you to be with him. I mean, I'm talking about the blood, why God used blood, why God used his blood, the most precious thing in the universe, to redeem us. That's how much he wants to save all men. And this, that, and the other, going through that. And I said that the guy told me that I needed to trust Jesus and not trust myself. And I said, I don't know, I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but when a guy comes out of the grave, until somebody tops that, I'm going with him. And he started laughing, right? It's like, don't laugh while you're open. So I said, I'm going with him. And I said, I've been going with him ever since. That whole place is here. So anyway, so he gets all done. He ended up having they took the x-ray, and they jammed the Novocaine in on this side. They jammed the Novocaine in on that side. And he went to drilling, right, all that kind of stuff, the noise you love to hear. And filled that whole thing in. And he said, okay, you're all set. And so I walked over to the receptionist and, waiting for the bell, and she goes, you're all set. And I said, well, what about the bill? She goes, you said you're all set.
Praise the Lord.
That means you're all set.
Glory be.
And I'm saying to myself, to him, it was worth being able to give everybody there, including the guy that nobody even knew in the waiting room. They all got between me and the dentist. They got it. They got the whole shooting match. Amen. What are you trying to say? Open your mouth. Amen. Okay? We're following a guy that came out of the grave. No one can top that. Tell him a story. Amen. Man, I feel like I ought to be in one of those restaurants. Where you just go around like this, and I can go back and forth like this. And preach to everybody. That way I can make eye contact. Hallelujah. I'm going to be in the book of Ruth tonight. I've had a minimum of three messages that I want to preach you. You guys got a projector here, or a way to do a projector sometime?
We could, yeah.
Like with a PowerPoint?
Can do that.
Yeah.
And I might want to do that. Okay?
All right.
Okay.
If y'all have me back after tonight.
We will.
Okay. Probably.
Well, maybe. We'll have to see.
You yeah, right.
You will have to see, right? Yeah. And see what, who knows, I might be a heretic by the time I read verse 9. You know what I mean? They've already been one for all I know. So Ruth, I'm going to be in Ruth chapter 2. I'll give you a little recap of what's going on. I'm sure most of you probably already know, but before we go further, let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Father, Lord, you know me. And Lord, you know that I have nothing to give these folks. But Lord, you came out of the grave and you've got everything. And so Lord, I'm just asking that you would use this time right now to, Lord, if you want to use me as your mouthpiece, to speak through me and give these folks something that they can wrap themselves around and help them, dear God. It's a wonderful church out here. Lord, if I could use the expression, out in the middle of nowhere. But Lord, look at all these folks, and they traveled far. And they don't want to hear from me. They want to hear from you. Lord, would you grant that request to let each and every person here hear from you tonight? Lord, we're asking these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, of course, you know me a little bit, and typical types, okay? I like following types. I like seeing types and picking them out and seeing how they apply, okay? So Ruth is a woman from Moab. God referred to Moab as a washpot. Okay, if you had your druthers, you'd rather not be from Moab. Okay? Wash pot, it's not because it makes everything clean. It's because the wash pot is dirty, scummy, scuzzy, got all kinds of greasy junk in there, and it's a wash pot, okay? And so that's where Ruth, she's a Moabitess, and that's where she's from. If you know the story, Naomi is a woman. She came from Bethlehem, Judah. Her husband's name was Elimelech. I'm giving you chapter 1. And there was a famine in the land, and over there in Bethlehem, Judah. Bethlehem, Judah, by the way, means land of bread, okay? But the bread dried up. And so Elimelech decided, I'm going to take my family, and we're going to Moab, and we're going to cut ourselves out a better life. We'll be able to make ends meet. We'll be able to have a better livelihood. We'll be able to have food, this, that, and the other. He got out there into Moab. Don't you know, Elimelech dies. Meanwhile, Elimelech had two sons, okay? Mahlon and Chilion, I think their names are. And they both married these Moabitish women, okay? And don't you know, both the sons died. Now, Naomi is there, and she's got no husband. She's out of her country. She's in a foreign land. She doesn't fit. She's got no livelihood now. She's a single woman. She's got these two daughter-in-laws. Long story short, the one daughter-in-law, Orpah, she stays there in Moab. And Ruth decides, I'm going with you. I'm going back to your country. Your people are going to be my people. Your God's going to be my God. I'm sticking with you. That's kind of that was my attitude. When I walked into that Baptist church back in 1980, and the guy showed me the gospel for the first time, I'm sticking with that. Amen. I'm sticking with the guy that came out of the grave. Okay? Nobody's topped it in 2,000 years, and I'm not holding my breath till someone does, okay? And the next one that does anything even close to topping that is the same guy when he comes back. And we're all coming on horses, right? Watching the show. My goodness. So when you're looking at Naomi, okay, I'm sorry, when you're looking at Ruth, Ruth is from Moab. She's an outcast. She's a Gentile. Got any Gentiles here? Uh-huh. Okay, just don't fit in, right? We're not the elect. We're not God's chosen people, right? We're just washpots, right? But nevertheless, the God for the chosen is the same God for us. And so you and I, we're all a picture of, well, let me rephrase that. Ruth is a picture of us.
Amen.
Okay? Ruth is a picture of the bride of Christ, okay? And I'm not going to go through the whole book. You'll have to go through the whole book. I'm not going to fill in every single little detail for you. But the man that she meets is called Boaz, and he's a type of Christ, okay? And he ends up taking Ruth under his wing, so to speak, okay? Much the same as God did that for the Gentiles, okay? The off-scouring, and did that for us. So when we're reading about Ruth, and if Ruth is a picture, if she's a type of the bride of Christ, the Gentile bride of Christ, then she's a type of you, and she's a type of me. That means when I look at Ruth, and I see how she's acting, and I see how she's behaving in here, if I'm seeing positive qualities, and if I don't have those positive qualities, then I need to make some adjustments, don't I?
Amen.
Because she's the bride. We're supposed to be presented without spot or wrinkle. We do have a miracle working God.
Amen.
Okay? Because I haven't seen that church in my lifetime. But someday, bless God, I believe we will. So Ruth chose to stay with her mother-in-law. And I want you to see, I want to start reading in chapter 2. They return to Bethlehem, Judah. I guess I maybe need to describe the law of gleaning. Okay? Do they know the law of gleaning? Maybe. Okay?
There might be a few that do.
Okay. So here's the law of gleaning. If you're a Jew, okay, this was given to Moses. The law of gleaning is when you've got a field, you got a field. When you're reaping the harvest from your field, you don't harvest the corners of the field. Okay? You leave those corners for sojourners. Okay? People traveling. They didn't have Denny's back then. Right? They didn't have McDonald's, Burger King. All you had was raw grain in the fields. And you were welcome, regardless of where you were from, when you went through Israel, you could count on the fact that there would be fields there where you could go into the corners of the field, and they were deliberately left uncleaned, okay? And so you could go in there and glean, and so you could, as you're passing through, now you're not to take it with you, and you know, you're not to be filling your wagon full. It's there so you can eat, so that you don't starve to death while you're going wherever you're going, okay? And so that's what that's all about. Well, Ruth must have known about this law of gleaning. Because as we read here in chapter 2, verse 1, Naomi, it says, had a kinsman, Naomi again is Ruth's mom, mother-in-law, had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth. And the family of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. I told you, Boaz, a picture of Jesus Christ, a mighty man of wealth, right? And Ruth the Moabite said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. The first thing I see about Ruth, what we're supposed to be, is what Ruth is, what is, she's proactive. She's proactive. Nobody had to say, now Ruth, now when we get there, now, you know, I'm not getting any younger, so you're going to have to go out there, you're going to have to find a field, you're going to have to go and glean. Come on, Ruth, it's time, come on, Ruth, get out of bed now. Ruth, it's time to go. No, Ruth is proactive, okay? And we just sang that song, Don't Leave Them Hanging. We got a lot of Christians today that are not proactive. Right. I don't know what in the world they're waiting for.
That's right.
But listen, I don't know you folks, but I love you all. When you come out to church, to this church, coming out and getting out to church and listening to the preaching, the singing, the gospel and fellowshipping, that is not the end of your walk. That's the beginning of your walk.
Yeah, amen.
It's to teach you and to train you how to get out there and to serve the Lord, the living God, okay? The one that came out of the grave. And so the idea is, as Christians, we need to be proactive, okay? Ruth was proactive. She said, let me go. Let me go out there. And verse 3, she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap, that means that she just so happened, her hap was to light on the part of the field belonging unto Boaz. Probably just a coincidence. She didn't know who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came to Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, Boaz has employees, okay? He's got reapers. He's got servants out there reaping his fields, okay, because he's a mighty man of wealth. And he's got reapers out there. By the way, he's got some reapers out there today. You may be one. If you're not one, you ought to be one. Amen? And so he goes to the reapers, and where am I? And Boaz came to Bethlehem and said to the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. He's got an ongoing relationship, like me and the dentist. Hey, God bless you, God bless you. Let's talk about the Lord. He's doing that with his employees, amen. And then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? Who's this? Who's this young girl here? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it's the Moabitish damsel. You would have thought Boaz would have gone, oh, washpot. No. And listen, you know, I got to look at myself in the mirror every once in a while. When I was young and foolish, it's like, yeah, why would I go to hell? Why wouldn't I go to heaven? I mean, I'm not as bad as the next guy. I'm a pretty good guy. I ought to go to heaven. Now I look at myself in the mirror and it's like, Why would God actually want to spend eternity with somebody like me?
Amen.
Well, when you're young, you don't think like that.
That's right.
You start getting older, and it's like, why does the Lord want somebody like me to spend eternity with? Don't have. Right? And nevertheless, he does. And so the servant is telling Boaz about this Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And look at this in verse 7. She said, and the servant is telling Boaz, and she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. You know what I see about her? Not only is she proactive, she's humble. She's humble.
That's good.
And the truth of the matter is, she had, even though she was from Moab, because of the laws that God set up, she had every right to go out there and glean. But you know what she did? She humbled herself. Is it okay? Is this field okay? Is it okay for me to go into this field and glean? And she just asked. God honors that. That's right. That humble spirit. And I'm telling you, it's rare today, preacher.
Yeah, it sure is, bro.
I mean, they got the attitude that I had when I was younger. I'm saying Christians had the attitude. It's like, you know, aren't I something? And it's like, no, we're really not. And we're really not something, okay? And so she's very humble. Verse 8, then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. And if I'm a type of Ruth, and Ruth is a type of me, and Boaz is a type of Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ, basically, Boaz is telling Ruth, hey, listen, are you not listening to me? Listen to me right now, okay? He's saying there, don't wander off. You're in the right place. Can I just say something to maybe some folks that are not familiar with Black Creek Baptist Church? Don't wander off.
Amen.
You're in the right place.
Amen.
Hold fast. Amen. You know, that word hold fast, that word fast doesn't mean speed up. It's the same root word as like fasten, like a fastener. You know, like you want to nail something down so it stays there. Okay, fastener. So he's saying, hold fast. Abide here fast by my maidens. You know what else we need? We need the fellowship with one another.
Amen.
Amen.
Yep.
And so he's telling her, listen, you don't you wander off. Don't you go into someone else. I'm going to take care of you. Man, I got a God in heaven that loves me.
Yeah,
amen.
Amen. Man, he just dumped a boatload on me this afternoon. And I'm hoping to get in, get out, get an x-ray, and come back in 2-3 weeks.
And
instead I got the whole shooting match, and I'm able to talk.
Wow.
And the dentist just gave it to me. God knows how to do that stuff.
That's right.
I'm saying open up your mouth for the Lord Jesus Christ. You might get some, I have no idea what there's patients in the other room, and there's these assistant, whatever they all are. I know that the dentist had a woman in there with him. The hygienist had, she was there and she was working on somebody. And then there's this other woman. I have no idea what she does, but she's in a room and she's got a chair and there's somebody in the chair. And then there's the receptionist and then there's the guy in the waiting room. So there's like 8 folks there that need Jesus. And I'm saying, open your mouth because God wants to dump a boatload on you. Amen. And in spite of your circumstances, the reason I was there is because I was hurting. Okay? And abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? It's like, listen. And by the way, church needs to be a safe place.
Right.
Not all churches are a safe place.
Right, well, brother.
You need to make sure that this church stays a safe place.
Yes, sir.
For the young maidens.
That's right.
That's right.
And even younger ones.
Yes, sir. Come on.
Okay. And But with that's another message.
Yeah.
But Boaz is making sure. I talked to the guys. You don't have to worry about these guys. You don't have to worry if you're out on the edge, you know, the field and the woods is right there. You don't have to worry about some guy, you know, doing a hip check into the boards to get you into the woods. You don't have to worry about that. I talked to my guys about that. Isn't that good?
Amen.
I'm saying Jesus is looking out for you.
Amen.
Jesus is looking out for you.
Good.
And then on top of that, now wait a minute. She's only supposed to go in there and glean. She's, in essence, she's a sojourner, but or she's there because Naomi is there, but she's still an outsider. So she's going there just to glean for today. And then Boaz says this, when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. By the way, your water is probably going to run out. Like the woman at the well,
mm-hmm.
Her water ran out. She left her water pot,
amen.
And she went after the one that could give her everlasting water. And here's Boaz saying,
amen.
Saying, hey, listen, your water's going to run out, but don't you worry about that. You listen, you're welcome here. I want you to be here. And when you're thirsty, you just help yourself. You don't have to ask. You're welcome to go and get a drink of water. That's not part of the law. That has nothing to do with the law of gleaning whatsoever.
Right. That's right.
That's extra.
Amen.
Grace.
That's extra. I love it.
Yes.
And she fell on her face. Why? Because she's humble. And she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I'm a stranger. I don't even belong here. Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. When I got saved, my phone stopped ringing. My friends weren't calling me. My mother and father did not know exactly what to do with me when I told them I got saved. My sister, bless her heart, you know, postmodernist worldview that she had. I'm happy for you, but just don't take this thing too far. I had to leave my mother and father behind. I had to leave my sister behind.
Yes, sir.
And I had to leave my friends behind. And I had to start getting involved some way, somehow. Somehow I had to start getting involved. And listen, man, I floundered for a while. I got saved up there in the falls, and the pastor left a few months after that. And I mean, I was there Sunday morning, Sunday night. When I got saved, oh, you're having church again tonight? Oh, all right. And it's like, That's gonna really curtail my Bills game. I'm not gonna be able to. I'm not gonna be able to enjoy the game the way I used to enjoy the game if I'm going back to church tonight, am I? And so, you know, it was. I never told you about how I was before I got saved. I was part of the pharmaceutical industry. So, but she's humble, and she's got water now, and Boaz is giving her water to drink, and what a blessing that is. And listen, you might think, what in the world is this being saved, born again stuff? You might have just gotten saved last week, for all I know, okay? And maybe you still don't have the thing all figured out. But listen, open up your mouth. Let folks know where you're coming from now. And don't worry if you got to leave mom and dad behind.
Right.
Don't worry if you got to leave your sister and your friends behind. It might take 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. It took 30 years for me to witness to my mom and lead her to the Lord. And she was left behind for 30 years. Not saying we didn't have fellowship. I went over there for dinner and this, that, and the other. But it was just like there's this, we don't know exactly how to, you know, is it okay if we have wine at our table? Dad, it's your table. You know? And so what, you're going to church again? You just got back from church. And you were taking these little kids back. And now you got here late for dinner, and now you got to leave because you got to go pick up people and go back to church. You know, you make these contortions like that morph thing I was talking about. Make these weird faces. Got to leave that behind because you're a testimony to them. The testimony of those people. I led my mom to the Lord 2 days before she died. Amen. My dad, a few years later, says, boy, I miss your mom. And I gave him I gave him the testimony of how my mom got saved. And he's like, I believe that. And I believe my dad got saved. You can say whatever you think, whatever you want.
Amen.
And God wants to save people. Amen.
Amen.
He's not willing that any should perish. And my sister now is a greeter at her church. She's not exactly our stripe, but she understands. But she understands salvation by grace. And she's learning truths from some Bible. But I'm saying, you know, okay, so she doesn't line up exactly. But the conversation's open now, at least.
Amen.
Where am I? Let's move down, because there's a whole bunch in here, amen. Let me find favor in thy sight down there in verse 13, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me. She got comfort. She got comfort as a result of spending time in the field of Boaz, gleaning from a Boaz field, from the reapers, and spending time with the maidens, and our fellowship. You can't understate the benefit of fellowshipping with one another, okay? I know you all got friends out in the world. This is your family. Man, these are your friends.
Right.
Don't minimize that. You say, where do you get that from, Ruth? Okay? It's there. Don't minimize that. And she's being told, who's telling her? Boaz is telling her. Who's Boaz? Picture of Jesus Christ. Okay, don't move from here. When you're 30, I'm giving you more water than you can handle. And I don't even owe you. I don't owe you that. Verse 14, Boaz said unto her at mealtime. Mealtime. You have meals here at Black Creek Baptist Church, like Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday morning service, Sunday evening service,
amen.
Wednesday service, Thursday service. Is there anything else? Anything else I'm missing? Man, you guys are overstuffed. But eat, okay? You're welcome. And Boaz is telling this foreigner, this stranger that does not belong, this Gentile. He says, at mealtime, come thou hither and eat of the bread. And dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers. She's an outsider. And she's sitting there now with the reaper, with the ministers. She's there. She's like top shelf. She's there with all the employees, man. She's there with the servants. She's this outcast, outsider from Moab. And that's like, no. No, you're one of us. You're one of us. Are you saved?
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
Are you saved?
Amen.
You're one of us.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Okay,
come on in.
Amen.
Sit down. There's a cool drink of water for you here. And I guarantee you there's a meal here several times a week. And you're welcome. You're welcome to come in. No charge. Tithing's a different thing, okay? And I'm saying that's not part of the law of gleaning. Nothing to do with the law of gleaning. Boaz is taking interest in this woman there. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn. And she didn't. And she didn't eat. You ever? How many times has a preacher, this preacher, any other preacher stood there, and it's like that? What I just heard, that came right from God. That came from God. Here's a handful. He's handing it to her. In case you didn't get enough, here's enough. I mean, he just blew her a kiss. God ever blow you a kiss? God blew me a kiss today.
Amen.
Hey, don't have. I know you're a wreck, but here. Right? At the dentist office. By the way, your tooth's going to be fine. God just blew me a kiss today. Blew her a kiss. Here's more. And that's what God wants for you. That's what he wants for me. If you're not getting that, you need to adjust the way you think and process it, okay? You need to... profound words. My preacher used to tell me, when I went on the road, okay, I was 50 years old when I went into the ministry full time. Four kids, two of them college age. Shut down my business and went on the road to who knows where. Because the kids and the wife kept asking, where are we going next? Well, I'll tell you what we're looking at. What are you saying? I forgot what I was saying. Hang on a second. I think the Novocaine's wearing off here. Where was I? What was I saying?
Profound words.
Oh. I'm saying if you're not lining up with this, and if it's not fitting, you need to make an adjustment.
That's okay? Right.
And I remember I go to my preacher, okay? Support's supposed to be coming in. All of a sudden, it's Christmas time. There's no support. And it's like, where, preacher, these churches, they've been supporting me. Now all of a sudden, it's December, and no support is coming. And you know what he told me? Make an adjustment. That's profound wisdom from my pastor.
Yes, sir.
Make an adjustment.
That's good.
Okay? Hey, I'm saying if what you see going on here is not hitting you here and it's real to you, you need to make an adjustment. Okay? And you say, well, I don't even know why to get started. That's why there's a Holy Ghost of God in there. Okay? The Holy Ghost of God will help you. And so make that adjustment. And so he reached her parched corn and she didn't eat. And was sufficed and left. Oh, wait a minute. And when she was risen, up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. Some folks have trouble pushing away from the table. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? I might be one of them. And I could miss a few meals and it wouldn't hurt me. But you want to know something? There's a lot of folks like that. Physical meals, fellowship time at the church, and they'll just hang out there and when there's work to be done. And there's always work to be done. Ruth rose from the table, pushed away, she ate, and back to work. Listen, we got all eternity to take five, okay? And we got all eternity to retire, okay? I don't know what we're gonna be doing, man. I looked up at the galaxies and stars out there. It's like, personally, I think we're gonna be pretty busy for a while. I don't know why they're there. What else are they there for? But they're there for something.
Come on.
And now that's not part of the message. I'm just saying, I don't think we're gonna be taking too many breaks up there, but I don't think we'll care.
Yeah.
I got it. Let me move on here. And she got back to work. And I'm saying Christians need to get, hey, listen, don't be afraid to work. Find out what you can do. Find something to do. There's got to be something in this church. Somebody needs to learn how to rewind that clock right there. I'm saying there's always something to do. It may seem insignificant. But Find something, okay? So Boaz, a mighty man of wealth, takes note of her humble but industrious spirit, and he bestows even more blessings on her. And he said there, where was I in verse 15? Hey, listen, forget about the corners of the field. You just go in there and you just take whatever you want now. That's just like by Jesus. It's like, you know what? You're industrious. You're proactive. You got a humble spirit about you. You know how to say, you know how to push yourself away from the table and get back to work. You want to work? You help yourself because just help yourself. I got boatloads for you.
Amen.
And God's got boatloads for all of us. You might have to work for it. But when God sees it, don't ever underestimate the supernatural.
Yeah, amen.
That's right. I mean, it's like, well, I don't want to go to church. You know, it's going to be, they're going to leave the doors wide open. I'm going to be freezing in there. You know, the fans on, everything else. Of course, you hear a Sunday morning when it's 95 degrees. It's like, I don't want to go to church. I've been sweating like crazy. And it's like, don't discount the supernatural.
Amen.
God's doing something.
Amen.
God's doing
amen.
Something. Don't discount that. Amen? Amen. And so verse 16, and let not only are we going to give her water that we don't owe her, okay? Not only are we going to give her food, not only are we going to give her additional handfuls of food, then we're going to sit there and we're going to go ahead, just go into the field, just pretend you work for me, but everything you get you keep. Isn't that something?
I like it,
man. Oh man, and I'm telling you, God's got. He knows if you're hungry, if you want it, it's there. I'm saying it's right here at Black Creek Baptist Church. If you're hungry for the Word of God, if you want a blessing from God, if you're willing to get out there and do something for God, God is just waiting to blow you a kiss.
Amen.
Amen.
So get out there in the field and glean, he says. And in verse 16, you got to love this one. Oh, yeah, thank you. I don't mind if I do. Talking about water.
Amen.
Thank you. And verse 16, you got to love this. And wait a minute. She's a foreigner. I keep going over this. And she humbled herself to ask permission to go out and do what she was already lawful for her to do it. But she asked for permission. And then the owner says, here, by the way, help yourself to some water anytime you need it. And by the way, when we have dinner, you're invited to dinner. And you can sit with my maidens. And by the way, here, dinner here, have some more. Have some of this parched corn right here. And by the way, as long as you're going back to work, listen, just make like you're one of my ministers, one of my servants, one of my reapers. It's all there for you. Take it, grab it, and then he turns to the workers and say, by the way, when she's out there reaping, throw some handfuls there on purpose. Of purpose. Throw some extra.
Yay.
Give her extra. And this woman, she needs a wagon. She's getting loaded down with blessings. But she was proactive. And she was humble. And she was willing to work. And she knew enough to push away from the table and get back. And as a result, God blessed that. God blessed it. And we underestimate that. Let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her and leave them that she may glean them and rebuke her not. Let her take all she can get. You know, sometimes, hang on a second. You know, sometimes somebody comes in to our church, and all of a sudden they're talking about this, talking about that, and they're talking about the blessing they got from reading the Word of God. Boy, did I get a blessing today, reading. Actually, I was painting the ceiling in my bathroom, and I was listening today to Alexander Scorby and going through Exodus, and man, I stopped my day. And went and sat down and started reading Exodus chapter 23. And it's like, man, I wonder what somebody really smart has to think about this. And I went to Matthew Henry. and started reading what he said. It's like, oh my goodness. Lois, come here. You got to see this. And she goes, well, you know, maybe we can do it while we're driving sometime. It's like, you need to come. You need to see this. Look at this. And look what Matthew had. And man, I got a wagon load this morning. While I was painting my ceiling. To the point where I had to stop and I had to sit down and just get a hold of God for a little bit.
Amen.
Man, oh man. Hey, listen, don't get upset with somebody when they're getting up, when they want to start talking about stuff.
Right.
New believers come in here and all of a sudden they get excited. They're getting handfuls of purpose. And they're just getting blessed. You know, and the folks that have been around here, it's like, I always get shot off.
Yeah.
It's like, these newcomers, you know, they think they know everything. They're learning. Let them learn.
Amen.
Let them glean. Throw them some extra.
Amen.
Be a help. Be a help. Be a blessing to them. Amen?
Amen.
This is a pattern for us. It's a pattern. I don't want to leave. I mean, I want to spend the rest of my life in Ruth chapter 2. I heard of a preacher. I don't know his name. Spent his whole life, his entire ministry, I mean, decades in the book of Ezekiel. Never got out of there. And I'd like to spend the rest of my life just in Ruth chapter 2, just to learn how to be the Christian that God wants me to be.
Amen.
Here's a model here for me. Let fall also some of the handfuls on purpose and leave them, that she may glean them and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field and beat out that which she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. I didn't take the time to look up that ephah and all that kind of stuff, but I did come to this conclusion that in verse 17 there, after she got done gleaning all this stuff, until when? Evening, till evening, right? And then she went to work and beat out everything that she had all day long, that she'd been gleaning all day long. And she went and she started beating, you know, to let the wind take the chaff away. They call it winnowing, right? And you could beat it, however you got to get it done, okay? I don't know exactly what kind of grain she had there. And I'm saying she finished her day's work. She's working from morning till night. She's got a work ethic. Christians need to have a work ethic. And she's being blessed, and she knows she's being blessed. And she didn't want to abuse the privilege, but she gathered all she could gather, and now she's beating out what she's gleaned. And I'm saying a lot of times we're gleaning from the Word of God, but we pick up a little chaff along the way. You know? Some of the garbage that the world has in there for us. And we're sitting there trying to read from the Word of God, or we're listening to this preacher, we're listening to that preacher, we're listening to this commentary, reading that commentary, listening to my friend over here, listening to my friend over here, and this one and that one, and we pick up chaff along the way. And our own thoughts, and our own opinions. While we're gleaning, we're picking up the other stuff that we don't need, okay? And listen, I'm getting. We need to beat that bad stuff out of there.
Amen.
Okay, your opinion. You know what? You know what your opinion means. Don't listen. I'm saying this about me. But you know, I mean, we're just talking about the universe, right? We're talking about. I mean, the other day I looked up, and there's. You know how you can see the Milky Way galaxy, the one of the spurs of the Milky Way galaxy. And beyond that, there's stars beyond that, and there's galaxies beyond that. Do you really know what your opinion means? I got this picture of the universe out there, okay? And I got these galaxies and these little individual stars and all that kind of stuff and planets, and I got this little speck of dust. With all these little, you know, the voice clouds, you know, when somebody's talking and they
hear,
and there's all these voice clouds out of this little speck of dust. Well, I think. Well, let me tell you what I think. Well, this is what I believe. Well, this is what you ought to do. Well, I think this is what you ought to do. Well, I used to be like that, but I, and it's like, who cares? You're out here in the middle of the universe. No one cares about your opinion. No one could care less about your opinion. All we got to do now is convince you not to care about your opinion. Go. You think too much of your own opinion.
Come on.
Go with what God says. I'm saying beat that junk out of there if it doesn't line up with the Word of God. So I went. I had a little family reunion with some of my cousins. Okay. And we're not, you know. There was 9 of us. 5 were liberal. 4 were conservative. I know my wife and I are saved. I don't know where everybody else stands in the picture. And just, you know, cousins, they live over there. It's all north of Syracuse. And some came from Massachusetts and Pennsylvania. And so we're sitting at the dinner table. And my cousin says, he goes, "You know where wine was invented?" And everybody at the table was like, and he goes, "Georgia. The country, Georgia." I read it. That's in, I don't know, National Geographic. I don't know where he read it. It was invented. I saw it on one of those food shows or something. Right? I don't know where he saw it. Georgia. And I said, "Georgia. The country over there by Russia, Bosnia, all that." He goes, "Yeah." I said, "That's funny, because I read in my Bible that a guy named Noah came off the ark and planted a vineyard and got drunk on the vineyard. So I don't know who told you about Georgia. I think I'm going with it." I'm saying, scrap your opinion already. There's a lot of junk out there. The experts said Georgia. They researched it. Hey, I was having a little conversation. What time am I supposed to be done by this? Because I haven't even gotten to the main point. You're going to love the main point. That may be. So I'm talking to the dentist today. And I forgot why.
You want the tooth fixed.
This is a destination. There was a reason that I was bringing that up, and it had to do with opinions, and I don't remember what it was. I'll just
move. It'll come back.
I'm just saying, beat the junk out of there. Oh, I remember. Oh, so here was the other one. Well, they got to start talking at the reunion, right? They got to start talking about climate change and global warming. Do we have any actual scientists here or anything like that to study that? You know, I know Mark studied meteorology when he's in the Navy and everything. So I asked him, we're sitting around a picnic table, having this hot dog on this little tour we're taking. And so my one cousin, my cousin's wife actually, says, you know, "What about this climate change business?" And well, they all, you know, the libs all, they're jumping on that one. And I said, "Yeah, I got a question." And it's like, I think it's a legitimate question because no one's given me an answer yet. But we had a nice age, right? Yes. My question is, how big were the ice caps prior to the ice age? And everyone's like. And I said, but I also have a follow-up question. If we don't know how big the ice caps were there ice caps before the ice age? Wait a minute. Right? Isn't it? Isn't it? Okay. And so I said, if we got ice caps now and we're coming out of an ice age, what would you expect to happen to the climate when you're coming out of a frozen ice age? And it's like, I said, well, would you expect it to get colder if you're coming out of an ice age? Or would you expect it to get
warmer?
And it's like, profound. I'm saying, just be willing to scrap your opinion already. Beat that junk out of there. Beat that junk out of there. I gotta get to the message. I haven't got to the message yet. This is the introduction. So she gathered it all up, okay? She's got it all. She beat all that junk. By the way, beat the junk out of your witness. Okay, don't give people your opinions. Give them Bible. You know, it's tough. You got people in your church and you want to become members of your church. It's like, okay, well, tell me about when you got saved. Oh, well, you know, I was, there and I saw this cloud formation and, you know, and it was just like, oh, you know, and it was like, you know, it was a pit, and then I knew. I said, do you have any scripture to back that up? And it's like, look, do me a favor, write it out. Write out your testimony, okay? Can you write it out and substantiate what you're saying with scripture? What are you saying? I'm saying beat out your opinions about when you're witnessing to somebody. Give them the Word of God. Give them scripture. Don't give them what your opinion is.
Yeah, that's right.
Give them the Word of God. Get your opinion out of there. It has nothing to do with salvation, okay? Give him the pure Word of God. So she gathered it all up, and she took it home. And by the way, but when you beat out your own opinion about stuff and get all that worldly junk from all the experts, did I get any on you? And when you get all that expert junk away, you know what? Your load becomes a whole lot lighter.
Amen.
It's a whole lot easier to think through things. Life becomes a whole lot easier. Whole lot easier. She gathered it up. She took it home. And she's flat broke, okay? She had nothing. She was simply willing to work. And I got to find, she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. You know what she did? She was a giver. Yep. She gave. She didn't hold back. It's like, look, this, I got this here for me here, and this is all for you. This is for us. This is for you. This is for us. She's a giver. And it's sad that you have to tell people that have been in church for any length of time that they need to be givers, okay? Right. Why? God's looking for ways to dump blessings on you, and he's dumping them on Ruth here. But Ruth, not only is she proactive, not only was she humble, not only did she have a good work ethic, not only did she beat it out and make it more pure, but she's also a giver. Here, Mom, here's your share. I'll beat out my share. You beat out your share. No. She took care of that first, and then she gave it to her. Isn't that a blessing? And it makes your load a lot lighter. And anyway, I got to move on. And I'm saying everyone needs to get in the mindset of giving. And then in verse 19, man, you got to love this. After she gives, okay, to her mother-in-law, and her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today? Where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? What have you been up to? And it's like, I got such a blessing out of that. I want to ask you, where have you been gleaning today? Where have you been gleaning? Who have you been listening to? What have you been watching? What have you been spending your time with? And parents, you know, you might want to find out where your kids have been gleaning today. You might want to find out what they've been looking at. You might want to find out what they've been reading. Yeah. You might want to find out what they've been doing. Okay? And I remember I said no laughing in church.
Sorry, I'm disobedient.
That's a joke, get it?
Yeah.
And but where have you been gleaning? Where have you been? CNN? MSNBC? Fox News? Where have you been gleaning? And the Drudge Report and all that other stuff, where have you been gleaning? Because can I tell you, here's the way it goes, okay? I love America, I'm an American, I'm a patriot, okay? But America ultimately is gonna go down the tubes, okay? The Constitution has to get tore to shreds so that it puts us on a level field with all the other socialists in the world. so that we can all be on the same playing field and usher in the Antichrist, okay? Read your Bible, that's how it works.
Well, that's not what they taught me in anthropology.
Beat that junk out of there, okay? Go with what God says in His Word. He's the one that came out of the grave. Your professor didn't do that, okay? But the idea, what have you been watching? Where have you been gleaning? That's the question that I have for this church. If you go home, when you go home tonight, I'm hoping when you turn the light off tonight, you go to bed, that you're asking yourself, where have I been gleaning? Where have I been spending my time?
Amen.
What did I do all day? What did I have on my phone? How much of that Facebook junk did I look at all day? How many Twitters did I tweet today? about my opinion, about what somebody else said, about what I think. And I think this is what I think. Where have you been gleaning, okay? Have you gleaned from a kinsman redeemer? Have you been out in the redeemer's field? Or have you been out in the world gleaning worldly things? Where have you been gleaning, okay? Gleaning things that can't be a benefit to yourself or a benefit to others. Okay? Listen, I'm saying it's sad when Christians spend hours on their phone and their computer and play those stupid video games that don't benefit anyone.
Right.
Where have you been gleaning? I'm saying Ruth came home with her wagon loaded. And when Naomi saw what Ruth had to offer, it was obvious that she had been blessed. And when people look at you, what do they see?
Come on.
It's like, this person has been spending time with God. This person's not the same person they used to be. This person's been gleaning some things from God. Good. This person's Amen. Doing their best to walk with God. I'm not saying we're perfect. I understand that. But where have you been gleaning? Because it was obvious to Naomi that Ruth came home blessed. Are you blessed? Are you blessed in spite of your circumstances?
Yes, sir.
It was Ruth's husband died, right? Ruth left her mother. Ruth left her father. Ruth left her family. Ruth left her homeland. Ruth just walked off to some whole other country. And yet, it's obvious that she's blessed. What are you going through tonight? Because everybody's going through something. It's like they say, you're either going into a storm, you're either coming out of a storm, you're in a storm, or you're about to go into a storm. Everybody's going through something. But are you blessed? And can those around you see that you've been blessed? Where have you been gleaning? Where have you been gleaning? Let's have a word. Father, I'm thankful, Lord, for this time. Lord, I pray that the Spirit of God is just working with these folks here. They're hungry. They're out here, Lord, for a reason, because they want something from you. Lord, I pray that you dump handfuls of purpose on each and every one that's come out here tonight, and that others will see that their life is blessed as a result of the time that they spent gleaning in your field, Lord. Make them reapers. Father, I'm asking these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. All right. February 16th.